Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
But I want to talk to you tonight. I want to talk to you about something I was reading in Mark chapter 4. And so just bring it up on the screen and then we'll go from there. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade." What I find interesting in that passage is the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. And then he says, how can I describe the kingdom of God? How can I describe the rule of God working in the lives of men? How do I help people understand the way God works on the earth and in our lives? Jesus says, one of the best illustrations I can find is a seed. Now, that really speaks to me because I grew up on a farm, and so, you know, it was about 800 acres of irrigated ground, and that means you watered. It wasn't dry land, and so we grew different things. It depended on what the market. There were times we grew potatoes and sugar beets and onions, and Debbie, if you ask her, she'll say, yeah, when I was dating John, the car always smelled like onions because you just, that onion thing, you get around onions, you just smell like onions. So she married an onion. But, you know, seeds were a big thing. Planting was a big thing. If you didn't plant, then you did not harvest. For a farmer to say, I'm expecting a huge harvest, but to have not planted would be ridiculous. On the farm, you know, in northeastern Colorado, it's kind of interesting. I was thinking back about planting time because this is kind of the time of year when people would plant, begin to put their crops in the ground. And one of the things that's unique about farmers is they're always kind of racing one another to see who can get their crop in the ground first. You don't want to go too early because if it comes up too early and frost can kill it. So there's this like this sense of how soon is there going to be spring and how soon can you get the crop in the ground without risking it being killed due to a frost. So the deal is who's first, and everybody's kind of watching the ground for it to dry out so they can get out in the field. And then when they're out in the field, then farmers kind of drive around, you know, when they're not working, when they're not farming, they look at one another's fields, and always they're looking at how straight the rows are. And you know, when you're learning to plant, that's a big thing. And a farmer, today they've got GPS. So I mean that's so lame. I mean, anybody can plant a straight row with GPS. But back in the day, right after covered wagons, I mean my dad would spend a lot of time. He'd say, here's how you plant a straight row. Here's how you do it. And then when you're planting, the most important thing is you got to be watching all of the units on your cultivator bar, the planting units, because if they're not dropping seed in the ground, if they get clogged up, if dirt gets caught up in there and plugs it up, then you're going to have a whole row in about 2 weeks that's blank. And then there's going to be a discussion on, like, hey, what happened? You don't want that to happen. You want to make sure that you plant, because if you don't get the seed in the ground, there's not going to be a plant. And if there's not a plant, there's not going to be a harvest. Now, seeds are an interesting thing. You know, seeds, the capacity of a seed to produce is absolutely amazing. You plant one kernel of corn in the ground, and that one kernel will produce approximately 1,800 kernels. That's an amazing return. That's an 1,800% return, 3 years of corn. Or take, for example, a watermelon seed. Do you realize that in that one watermelon seed, it's able to produce something, a piece of fruit, that is 200,000 times its weight? Think about that. A little tiny watermelon seed can be the conduit, can be the source of something that ultimately is 200,000 times heavier than the seed. Amazing. The kingdom of heaven, what shall I compare it to? It's like a seed. It's an interesting thing to think about. Little tiny acorn becomes a huge oak. I don't know what an oak tree weighs, but you think again, the size of the seed compared to the size of the tree. It's interesting that Jesus, when thinking about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, those two terms by and large synonymous, and how it works, often used the illustration of a seed. So many of the kingdom realities are framed in agricultural terms. It's just very interesting to me. In fact, let me give you just an example of how often the kingdom and aspects of this kingdom are compared to seed, because it's really interesting. First of all, the Word of God, your Bible, it's a seed. Remember, Jesus tells the parable of the sower, or it's called the parable of the seeds, or it's called the parable of the soils. And he says this, one day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. And as he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. And then he goes on and says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. And that seed of God's word, anytime you quote the scripture, anytime you talk to somebody about a verse of the Bible, you are sowing seed. And that seed brings a harvest. Listen to this. In Luke chapter 8, he says, and the seeds that fell on good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. The seed of God's word produces a harvest. We didn't have it on the screen, but it says this, we are transformed, 1 Peter chapter 1, we are transformed by the living and enduring word of God. The seed of God's word brings transformation in our life. Here's another metaphor of seeds. Our resurrected bodies are like seed. I mean, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 38. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. He's talking about seeds. He's talking about the resurrection. And when he's thinking about how do you compare the earthly body with the heavenly body, how do you compare our bodies today with the bodies we're going to have? And he says, you know what? It's like a seed. That when you and I die, we're put in the ground. It's like planting a seed in the ground, and a different plant grows from each kind of seed. Just like the seed that's planted in the ground doesn't ultimately look like the fruit that is there or the plant that comes out of the ground, your body's going to look different than your body today, though it'll be recognizable. When you die, your body is a seed planted in the ground that by God's power produces a resurrected body. Here's another seed reality. Eternal life, the eternal life of God in us is like a seed. Look at this. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he's been born of God. You say, what does that mean? Is that, I mean, you're like, man, I sin. Does that mean I'm not a Christian? No, the idea is you're not going to continue in willful, habitual sin. If you can look me in the eye and tell me, if you tell me I am a Christian, but at the same time, you're continually involved in the same kind of sin, something's wrong. And at that point, you got to think this through. And if you can continue in that sin, not be convicted by that sin, not be bothered by that, not be calling out to God, not be seeking some kind of help, then something's wrong. And perhaps it's because you thought you were a Christian, but you're not. Now, the Christians can get caught they can be entrapped in sin, but for some, we're talking about, this is an ongoing thing that spans more than a day or two. But what he's saying there, give me the scripture back. I kind of went a direction I didn't intend to. Because God's seed remains in him. Do you realize the life of God in you is a seed? That when you get saved, he plants, he changes your heart, gives you a new heart, and it's like a seed that's planted in you that begins to grow, and you become more and more like him. It's a seed. It's God's power. It's God's work. It's God's eternal working in us. God's people are like seeds. Turn to the person next to him and say, you're kind of a seedy person. It's true. Here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. Now, this is different than the one we read. This is not the parable of the soils. It's similar, but it's different. Because Jesus, when he interprets that parable, says, the field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. In other words, you're like seed. You're like seed that God has sown because you became a Christian because God reached out to you. And so you're like a seed that he's sown, and you're going to grow up and you're going to bear fruit from that seed God sowed and worked in you. And that's why we would say this in John chapter 4 and verse 35. Open your eyes. The fields are wide unto harvest. Jesus saw the world as a field and saw people as wheat ready for harvest. There's a seed. Here's another spiritual reality from the seed metaphor. Giving is like planting a seed. Giving money, giving an offering. Every time you give an offering, you're planting seed. This is something that Paul is very, very clear on in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says this, remember this, a farmer plants only a few seeds, and the whole context is giving. Chapter 8, he's talking about the grace of giving, and he continues it in through chapter 9. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must decide in your heart how much to give. And part of that decision is, what kind of harvest do you want? I mean, from the farm, my dad would look at the field and he would say, you know what? I want a harvest of 225 bushels to the acre. That means I have to plant so many seeds the spacing on it. You decide, the farmer decides, and there's different devices you put in the planter that determines how close the seeds are going to be planted together, and all of it's calculated on what kind of harvest. If a farmer says, I want a big harvest, but I'm only going to use 10 seeds because I've got other places I don't want to buy seed, I don't want to plant that much seed, I don't want to work, I don't want to do that, he's not going to have the harvest. Part of deciding on giving is deciding what it is. You know, there's the tithe. And when you give your tithe, listen, as you give your tithe, pray God will bless it and multiply it back. As you give missions, as you give to missions, listen, you're praying, God, Lord, help me bring that money. But as you're planting seed, as you're planting seed, you'll be surprised what God would do. You give and God multiplies back. I'm not give to get, but I give knowing I don't have to be afraid to give because the God who's made the promise is faithful to it. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. I mean, you plant seed and you reap a harvest. Again, you're giving. When you pay on that missions faith promise, you're planting seed. Building campaigns, you're planting seed. Here's another one. Our faith and prayers are seed. And I say faith and prayers because you find both in these verses. And the apostles said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. Boy, isn't that, I mean, have you ever found yourself saying, I just wish I had more faith because like the thing is so big, the need is so huge, and you're saying, God, I need you to increase my faith. And I love the way Jesus approaches this. You know, his answer is simply this. Let's not make this too complicated. That's what he's saying. If you had faith as small as a mustard seed. You don't have to have a lot of faith if you have real faith. And what is the metaphor he uses? A seed. And then he says this, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and thrown into the sea. And it would obey you. I mean, very, very interesting. Every time you believe God, every time you in faith pray, you're planting seed. Every prayer you ever pray where you're believing God to help you, you're planting a seed. You say, but it's just so small, it's just so tiny. Remember the watermelon. That seed leads to a fruit that is 200,000 times its size. This is amazing to think about. Tonight when we pray, we're planting seed. When we took that prayer card in our hand, we're planting seed. When you come into the altar, you're planting seed. When you get up tomorrow morning, you're planting seed. And like a seed, your prayer will produce something bigger than the seed itself. Well, you know what happens is, let me just say this, your prayers will bring about something bigger than your prayer. I don't know about you, but I find that incredibly encouraging. My prayer is going to bring about something way bigger. How much bigger? Well, hey, if a little tiny watermelon seed can produce something 200,000 times its weight, then what could my prayer bring about? We have a tendency to diminish in our own thinking the importance of prayer and the power of prayer. Prayer is like a seed, which when planted, Jesus said, how am I going to think about the kingdom of God? How should I explain it? It's like a seed planted in the ground. But here's what stops a lot of people. I'll give you three things and I'll close. First of all, our prayers don't seem big compared to our need. You know, like our need's like whopping big. I mean, it's like massive. What's a prayer against that need? My little prayer, and then what's even worse is at times you're facing a big need, and it's just like you can't even, you pray the prayer, and you don't even feel like it's big enough as a prayer for the need. Ever felt that way? Ever felt like when you were praying, you're just like, wow, this prayer seems like so inadequate compared to the need? Ever been in that place where you feel like, I just don't have the words, I just can't seem to pray in a way where I'm satisfied that my prayer has met the need? Aren't you glad you don't have to, that God doesn't weigh the prayer the way we weigh the prayer? You know, you pray and you're like, oh, that was so lame. You have a prayer time and you walk out of the prayer time and you're like, that was lame. You say, that ever happened to you? Sure it does. I mean, there's just times when you're like, what was that? I mean, God, you got to be thinking, oh, you know, but he doesn't. Because what he does is he uses that prayer, he views that as a seed. And your prayer will bring about something bigger than your prayer. Number two, here's another thing that keeps us from praying. We pray, and it appears nothing has happened, so we stop praying. It's like the farmer going out and planting seed. I remember I used to ride out into the field with my dad, and we'd get out of the truck, he'd planted seed, and he would, a few days had gone by, and he'd start digging in the furrow to see if the seed had started to sprout. He was checking it. Now, it would be crazy if he did it the day he planted. You'd be like, it doesn't happen that fast. Or 2 days later, or 3 days later. But over time, it starts to sprout. You know, a lot of people, they don't understand. We're planting seed. And seed doesn't grow overnight. It does. It starts growing immediately, but not visibly. You know, here's the problem for us. We are so conditioned by the conveniences of our day. So we want God to microwave his answers. We want God to Google Map his directions. We want God to text instructions. We want to see God move at the speed of light. And God says, no, I think I'm going to move at the speed of seed. You know, if you've been waiting on an answer, just remember, some seed takes a little longer to sprout and to produce a harvest. We need the patience of a planter. We need to think like a farmer, because Jesus says, what should I compare the kingdom of God to? What should I liken it to? It's like a farmer who planted seed. You know what? You're gonna pray some things tonight. If you don't pray, you're not gonna have any seed in the ground. But if you do pray, you're planting seed. And that seed's gonna bring a harvest. And that seed's gonna bear fruit. You're planting seed. And whether you can see it sprout today or it appears something's happened or not, you're planting seed. Let me give you a third thing that keeps people from planting seed in prayer. They worry too much about the outcome instead of focusing on the input. Listen, you can't make things happen. That's a news flash for some of you. That's like breaking news, because you have forgotten that. You can't make some things happen. You can't make everything happen. Some things are beyond you. Jesus said, Mark 4:26, the kingdom of God, will let the musicians come, is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day while he's asleep or awake. Isn't that awesome? You're going to go home tonight. You're going to go to bed, and while you're sleeping, that seed is growing, because you planted it in the ground night and day, whether you're awake, whether you're asleep, that seed, because I'm telling you what, you may have forgotten the prayers, God hasn't. I love that story in Luke 1, Zechariah. He's in the presence of the Lord offering incense. He's an old man. He and Elizabeth have been praying a long time to have a child, and now he's in the presence of the Lord, and the angel Gabriel says, your prayers have been heard. You didn't think so. You thought God forgot. But Zechariah, you planted seed a long time ago with Elizabeth, and it's about ready to burst through the ground and bear fruit. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. Now watch this. But he does not understand how it happens. You say, well, I just wish I could understand. You can't. You say, but I'd like, forget it. You plant the seed. You plant it. God's the one who grows it. All we can do is plant, and if we do that, God will make it grow. You're planting seed. Your prayers are seed. And you may not see something happening now, but I'm telling you, prayer is very, very powerful. I mean, prayer's like TNT. It's explosive. I mean, those prayers, a very dangerous thing. Handle with care, because when you plant that prayer, you plant that seed, something's going to happen. Something is going to happen. I mean, I think of the church we're sitting in. You know, we've been steadily in the mid 11,000 range on Sundays, and I was thinking of a godly man by the name of G. Raymond Carlson who came to town in 1969 and felt Springfield ought to have a mega church. So he began to pray. And I totaled it up. If he prayed from 1969 to 1999 when he said to another pastor, I believe my prayer has been answered in James River Assembly, then he prayed for, you know, he prayed 30 years. He prayed 10,950 prayers. And now there's over 11,000 people. You know, you're a part of this church because you're the harvest from seed, your fruit from seed planted by a godly man who never saw any of this. He's with the Lord. He's seen it from heaven. I'm just telling you, you just don't know. And it doesn't matter if you understand how it can happen or not. I thought of standing essentially right here when there was nothing here. And if you could have only known for weeks and months how overwhelmed I felt and how futile the whole idea of building a church seemed, especially the size church that we were thinking God was calling us to build and the amount of resource we had, the limited amount of resource we had. I mean, and it would have been laughable to anybody that this would happen. But I remember God filling my heart with faith on a Sunday night at the altar. At the altar, actually, when I came forward, I didn't feel anything. In fact, I went away from the altar disappointed because I was like, man, I don't feel anything. But the next morning when I got up and I was reading my Bible, I recognized instantly my heart has totally changed. I had faith to believe God for something that I was only always overwhelmed about before. And I came out here on the land because I felt God put it in my heart. Go out there on that land that you do not own and stand where the auditorium will be, where the pulpit and the altar will be, and lift your hands and thank me for the miracle I'm going to do. That was in the fall of 1997. I'm just telling you, it was seed planted that grew up and blew up into this. So, I don't know what you need. I just know that God has placed at our disposal something very, very powerful. He said the kingdom of heaven's like a seed. It's planted in the ground. And whether you're asleep or awake, it grows. Even if you don't understand it, you don't have to understand how it's going to work. You don't have to know how God's going to do it. Plant the seed of prayer in faith and watch God do a miracle. Amen.